It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a federal legislative update from Representative Tom Emmer, hear about a new book highlighting Minnesota veteran stories, and get an update from our county veteran service officer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
In the National Guard, we place a high value on physical fitness. Just as important as our physical well-being is our mental well-being. As we recognize Mental Health Awareness Month, I want to bring attention to the concept of resiliency and what it means for our soldiers and our airmen. Resiliency is our ability to adjust to and recover from adversity. While serving in the National Guard, we juggle many responsibilities, from family commitments to our civilian careers, all while fulfilling our commitment to our nation's defense. And sometimes we can feel overwhelmed. It's a natural response to our fast-paced lives. If you are experiencing difficulties in maintaining this balance or would like assistance, I want you to know that help is available and that asking for help is a sign of strength. Our psychological health coordinators offer confidential assistance. You can call them 24 hours a day at 651-282-4029. That's 651-282-4029.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Congressman Tom Emmer represents Minnesota's 6th Congressional District in Congress, which is home to over 40,000 veterans. Congressman Emmer was sworn in for his first term in the U.S. House of Representatives on January 6, 2015, and in November of 2016, he was reelected for a second term in the 115th Congress. Tom, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio and the studio. You're sitting in a chair that you probably can remember sitting in for a while.
Well, not the chair. I think I've lifted this chair from a morning host. But yes, the location is where I spent the better part of a couple of years.
So you're back home.
And it's great to see you, Tom. Glad that the show is still going strong, stronger than ever, and that you're still the guiding force. Nice job.
Could you ever guess we'd be here for almost 8 years and on 53 stations now, Tom, all over Minnesota?
Well, they always said you had a face and talent for radio. So
I've got the face, that's for sure. Congressman, you've already run for office twice. You got a third one coming up. We don't want to talk too much about that today, but your staff tells me there's over 40,000 veterans in your congressional district.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just about our district, Tom. You know, Minnesota owns 10 seats in the U.S. Congress, two U.S. senators, and 8 members of the U.S. House of Representatives. The representatives, we are all elected, obviously, by a specific geographic and demographic area in the state. But that's and I know that people try to limit and say, well, you're not in my district. No. Every one of us represents the state of Minnesota, and we all try to work together on the issues that are most important to every constituent that lives in our state. And our veterans, our servicemen and women, they're some of the finest that we have. And that 40,000, you're just talking about the actual veteran. Start talking about the families, and that number gets even bigger.
Well, and throughout Minnesota, they say there's about 370,000 veterans and their families,
right.
and there's a lot of interest in taking care of those veterans and keeping the promise with the veterans when they raised their hand and went off to war and were injured in war, or whatever might happen. And, of course, that brings us to maybe our first topic. We keep seeing the VA secretary change every couple of years. What's going on out there, Tom?
Well, if you're a news watcher, if you like CNN or maybe you're a Fox or whatever it is, you can get the entertainment value because that's all they are. Legitimately, what's going on is you have a president who now has been in office for over a year and a half, and clearly had some people in jobs that didn't fit his management style and or their management wasn't working with the organization that they were appointed to lead. The VA secretary, Shulkin, Something went on there in terms of the management relationship, and he serves at the will of the president. President chose to go a different direction, now knowing what he's got at the VA. And you get all these different names, but the ones that I'm hearing right now are former Republican representative and chair of the Veterans Administration, the VA committee, Jeff Miller out of Florida. He's one that has been rumored. Anthony Tersigny, who's the CEO of Ascension, one of the largest nonprofit hospital systems. And then there's also been a mention of a possible switch for the White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly. General Kelly might be another one that they're looking at. But we understand that it's going to be soon that we'll hear the new name, because what's his name? Jackson withdrew, which is kind of sad.
Presidential doctor that withdrew.
Yeah. It's regardless of what you think, it's this appointment process, Tom, has really never been more acrimonious than it is now. Republican presidents, Democrat presidents by now had all of their people installed. And this administration has just been thwarted every step of the way by congressional congressional Republicans and Democrats.
We're speaking with Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, we've learned on the show we have Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on every 4 weeks or so. And what we've learned over the last 7.5 years is since 9/11/2001, we've had so many deployments and so many people serving and so many people in the military and coming out that there was a huge demand placed on the VA system to take care of those. And we've been catching up or trying to catch up. But there's openings for lots of doctors, lots of nurses, and I don't know quite how long it's going to take, but we're thrilled to have a 5-star VA here in Minneapolis. And I'm told that the Minneapolis VA Medical Center has been, they've only rated them for 6 years, and we've been the only one that's rated 5 stars every year the 6 years. Wow. So here in Minnesota, we're fortunate.
And you're lucky. Pat is a wonderful leader. But don't leave us out. You know, we've got the St. Cloud VA that's, you know, we have Mr. Black running that. And he's these guys are forward thinkers. You know, we can all sit and look back and say what the VA didn't do right or what the culture was. You've got a couple of leaders in this state, and it goes beyond just these two men, good men. You've got leaders that are looking forward. How do we provide, and I'll use your statement when this started, how do we honor the promise, right? People have signed up to protect our freedom, both here and around the world. When they get out, when they come home, and this is part of the deal, they need help. And when they need that help, they need to have a top-notch facility that is rivaled by no one. They should have access to private sector choices as well as the great VA services we have. And you're right. These guys have to figure out a way to fill some of these openings at both the St. Cloud and Minneapolis VAs.
And they're both working very hard on that. And as I said, we're fortunate to have good VA hospitals and VA outpatient clinics all over Minnesota. And it's interesting to see that whenever there's an issue, that you and Congressman Walz are on it, and it seems to be not a partisan issue when it comes to taking care of the veterans.
It better not be. I mean, anybody who's listening to your program, I hope, understands that when we go to Washington, D.C., whether we're elected as a Republican or a Democrat, there are some issues, Tom, that they're not about a political party. This is about, frankly, I think most of them, this is an American issue. Again, people who put the uniform on, people who put their life at risk, their families who make this sacrifice right alongside them. These people are entitled to our highest attention and strongest work when it comes to the VA and everywhere else.
Congressman, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the legislation you've been working on for our veterans. We're speaking with Congressman Tom Emmer on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Representative Tom Emmer, who represents Minnesota's 6th Congressional District in Congress. He's in his second term, probably be running and winning for his third term, but we're not going to talk about politics today. Tom, I was speaking to a very professorial fellow last week who is kind of a mind guy, and we were talking about the military and the United States. And we were talking about 9/11/2001, and a lot of people say we were a country at war since 2001. And he listened, and we talked about that for a while, and he said, "You're wrong." And I said, "Well, what's your take?" He says, "We're a military at war. Less than 1% of the citizens of the United States serve in the military these days, and the military has been on a war footing for many years, since 2001. But most of the population goes about their business, and they don't think too much about it. But it is really important to make sure that we provide the funds and the equipment that the military needs so they can succeed, and that we take care of those people that are injured in the military after they go out risking their lives for a country."
I totally agree. When I was listening to you describe his statement, you know, initially I was offended a little bit because this is always front and center to me. Obviously, I have a son in the Navy, but it's friends, it's family, and it's the job that I do, right? That we constantly see this. And I get so frustrated in Washington, D.C. I'm actually pleased right now because we are in the process of providing funds that are so desperately needed to restore our military readiness. And to the brain guy you're talking about, the thinker, I think we are all in it together. It's unfortunate that some people do not pay close enough attention to the sacrifice that these men and women and their families make on a daily basis. I mean, you got Ben who's going to deploy shortly for over a year.
That'd be Sergeant Ben, yes, sir.
This is a huge sacrifice that he's doing for you and me.
But I think he would tell you that he would be happy that most of the country and most of our citizens can go about their lives and not worry because he's out doing his job.
I would agree. I have no doubt he would, but it doesn't make it any easier for me because I think people don't understand freedom is not free. They do not understand that this is something that you have to be vigilant about. You have to protect. You have to be aware every day. You know, we got young people that are growing up not being educated as to what this takes and why it's so important. And it's our job every day to remind them. And these guys who put on the uniform like Ben, it's not just him. It's his whole family that puts it on. They are in our community. They are the example that we need to be paying attention to. And you are so right about making sure that they have the things that they need. This Congress, I'm pleased to say, has been moving in that direction for the first time in several years. Again, this is an American issue. If you're going to send young people out into the field, they better have the equipment they need. They better have the training they deserve so they are the best prepared fighting force in the world that we expect them to be. And we better make sure that that happens because we want them coming home. And we haven't had that in recent years, Tom. You and I were talking off air before we got started that we have lost more young people in training accidents in the last 2 years than we have lost in combat. And that is what has to change. When they're actually cannibalizing parts off of old aircraft just to keep the ones they're in the air. And you have to know, and I bet you this is a military family's nightmare every day. My wife will text me the latest helicopter crash or she'll text, whatever. And it's a mom. She's sending them to me saying, "This has to end. We can't have this." Because your first reaction is that's because we didn't put the resources where they needed to be. And hopefully that's coming right now. You know, we
can't afford to lose young troops because they're using equipment that's not maintained properly. And I'm glad to hear you also told me off the air that veterans issues and military issues are nonpartisan issues, despite what we hear in the press. And it's good to know that our elected officials take responsibility for trying to provide all those things that we need. We're speaking with Representative Tom Emmer from Minnesota's 6th Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. Congressman, we got to get to work here.
Yep.
I understand you're the co-sponsor of H.R. 4242, the VA Care and the Community Act.
Right. This would consolidate the Veteran Administration's existing community care programs into one cohesive program. It reforms the VA medical claims process to ensure timely reimbursement, which I know we got a lot of our folks. This is something that they complain about. It would require the VA to periodically conduct local capacity and market assessments to identify gaps that might exist in the care that we're providing. It would standardize the rates that the VA pays to community providers, and it would authorize the VA to enter into provider agreements for needed care when contracts are not available or achievable. It's really important, and we've got a whole list of other ones as well.
Congressman, I know you're working on a number of pieces of legislation there, but I'm also aware that you've been trying to tackle veteran suicide and that whole issue of them experiencing suicides in higher numbers than our civilians.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about this off air. We lose approximately 22 veterans and one active duty soldier by suicide every day. This is a crisis. This is not just an incident. This is a crisis that we need to address in this country. I'll tell you, it's a lot about bringing awareness. It's a lot about getting our soldiers, our veterans back into the mainstream so they can feel good about themselves, so they aren't isolated, so they don't start to withdraw. I told you last week in Washington, D.C., we had the congressional hockey game with the Wounded Warriors. I mean, these guys are—they're studs. They show up. They got their prosthetics, and you're the one who pointed out they don't want a favor. No, they don't want a favor. I mean, they sitting on the bench.
Treat them like guys.
They're sitting on the bench yelling, "Emmer, you suck!" You know. It was a great game. We had fun, but the purpose of it is to draw these wonderful veterans into the mainstream, let them know there is a support network here. We want to help. You are our friends. You're the people that we counted on to protect us. We want to help protect you now. So it's about raising awareness and anything we can do, Tom.
Support them, treat them as normal people, and be aware of any changes, and be aware that the VA medical centers have help available. They know how to help them get through. Talk to them about it if they've got an issue. Get them some help.
And can I just give this as a, we'll call it a public service. The Veterans Crisis Line it's for veterans in crisis and their families and friends. It connects them with qualified Department of Veteran Affairs responders through a confidential toll-free hotline, online chat or text. Veterans and their loved ones can call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat online or send a text message to 838-255 to receive confidential support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Help is available. They know how to help. Just get your veteran. If he's having trouble, get him in, call that number. They'll take care of him, get him back to new normal.
Yeah. Wrap your arms around him.
Representative Emmer, we got about a minute left. I wish we had the whole show that we could talk. We're just barely getting started here, but any final words of wisdom for our listeners all over Minnesota about all the great work you're doing out in the Congress?
Well, anybody that's out there, understand we are in the customer service business. We work for you. So if there's an issue that you're having, please give us a call. If there's something you think we can help improve, please let us know. We are always open for suggestions. We're working on things like expanding and preserving the GI Bill benefits right now, modernizing the appeals process for disability claims, and a whole bunch of other things. We work for you. So, Tom, I'm very grateful that you've given me the opportunity to renew our friendship and spend a little time with you today.
Congressman, we'd love to have you on the show anytime. And when I get out to D.C., I want to see JFK's old office that you're using now.
I am. From the 1940s. It was his first congressional office before he went over to the Senate. We actually occupy the office that JFK had.
What an honor.
Yeah.
Well, Congressman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Congressman Tom Emmer from Minnesota's 6th Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to learn all about Al Zanon over at the state of Minnesota. Please stay with us. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll talk about a new book highlighting Minnesota veteran stories. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
I'd like to take a moment to recognize a particular group of personnel we have here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and they are the nursing staff at our veterans' homes. National Nurses Week is celebrated each year from May 6th to the 12th in recognition and celebration of the nurses in our community. Nurses at our 5-state veterans homes work incredibly hard to provide quality health care to our residents. For that, we cannot say thank you enough. The dedication and hard work of every staff member at each of the homes does not go unnoticed and no doubt enhances the quality of life for our residents. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Al Zidane is the Communications Director for the Minnesota American Legion and the editor of the Minnesota Legionnaire. He's also the author of 3 War Stories books, and we're going to talk about that and visit with Al. Al, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's good to be here, Tom. Thanks.
Al, we got to go back a ways. I understand you served in the Navy.
I did. I served from 67 to 71. I was on an aircraft carrier, Blue Water combat veteran in Vietnam, and then back to the U and into my career in journalism.
And what ship were you on?
USS Constellation.
Constellation, off the coast of Vietnam then?
Yeah, that's all. All the carriers are gathered around there in those days, so.
Well, that was before I went over there in 1971, so we just missed you. You were already done.
On my way home.
On your way home. When did you get involved with the American Legion?
Well, I was the editor at Hibbing for about 20 years, and then I was looking around for a job, and I found that one. I became the editor of the Legionnaire in 1996.
All of the members of the American Legion in Minnesota should be familiar with a monthly newsletter that comes out. And how long has that been going on?
Since the beginning of the Legion. So it's been, you know, we're a 100-year organization this year. And it started out as the Hennepin County Legionnaire. Only the Minneapolis guys got it for a while. And then it eventually evolved into the Minnesota Legionnaire. And we're one of the few states where every member of the organization gets the newspaper, and that's a good thing.
And, of course, you've been doing that for quite some time now, but what did it look like before you took it over, Al?
Well, I was a Legionnaire before I started working for the Legion, and it has a proud history. It kind of run aground for a few years, I think, before I took over. And anyway, what I remember is getting the newspaper at home, and it went generally from the mailbox into the
round file.
Exactly. So,
but now I get this thing and have for years, and I read it cover to cover because you've got a lot of events in there. You've got national commanders coming to town. Once in a while, you write about Minnesota Military Radio, so I have to check that out, Al. But you do stay pretty current on events in there. And you've got articles about some of our veterans and the time they spent in service and some most of the time in some pretty dangerous circumstances.
That's right, yeah. I started writing these stories because, like I say, that I knew people weren't reading the newspaper, and it doesn't do any good to have a veterans newspaper if the veterans aren't reading it. And so I thought, well, how can I fix this? So I did the usual things. I redesigned the newspaper, and I started putting more newsy news on the front page, and we developed a few other features like a community calendar and things like that. But the one thing I wanted to do the most was to start writing about Minnesota veterans and their stories. And so we started, and it took a long time to kind of catch on, I think. And so people started noticing that these stories were there. But now if I skip a month and don't do a story, I'll start getting phone calls, say, what happened to the story? You know, what happened this month? You know, but I think people look forward to them. And, you know, as far as, you know, these veterans, you know, they're just like you and I, they were, you know, and let me speak specifically about the World War II guys, because a lot of the stories are about World War II guys. I'll explain why in a minute. But, you know, they were guys that were just, they were soda jerks and selling tickets at the local theater or pumping gas or doing something like that. And then one day they got a notice and off they went to war. Or another way I describe the World War II guys is they grew up in the Depression, and their reward was they got to go to war. So, you know, but
got to go to war until it was over.
That's right, yeah. And so normal people, and all of a sudden they're in these incredibly extraordinary circumstances. There's nothing, what Patton say, there's nothing in human experience that's like war, you know, and I don't mean that to be a positive or a negative, but it's an incredible endeavor, and to be caught up in it is, you know, for one thing, 400,000 Americans didn't come home from World War II, you know, so it's a very dangerous place to be, but just, So we started doing these stories, and it's worked out. And in about, oh, I can't remember what year, but they were starting to build the World War II Memorial at the, or they were talking about building the World War II Memorial at the Capitol. And I thought, well, why shouldn't we try to raise some money for it, and, you know, and gather these stories into a book. Now there are two really good reasons to gather these stories together. One is to preserve them, so that they, you know, really, once these stories go away and once these people pass on, which most of them are now, the stories are gone. You know, you can't get them back. And you can say, oh, I remember Uncle used to talk about being in the CBs, and, you know, well, that's great, but it's not like Uncle telling you what it was like to be in the CBs. So preserving the stories was very important. But the other thing was we could raise a little money for the World War II Memorial. And so by the end of the project, we brought out the first book, and I think in the year 2000, and we made $70,000 for the World War II Memorial. So it was it was really a win-win-win-win-win, you know, kind of situation.
How many interviews were in that first book?
I think there were 27 stories in the first book.
And you got to meet every one of those guys.
Oh, I just, you know, there's a Medal of Honor winner. There's, you know, General Vesey. I mean, that's the fun part for me, is I get to sit down with these guys and talk to them.
Men and women. And most of them didn't think they did anything special.
No. And many of them, in their earlier years, wouldn't talk about it. You know, I'm sure you've heard that story. And in fact, I've talked to so many wives and children after I've interviewed the veteran, and they say, he never told us that stuff, you know. But if you get them going and they're comfortable and it starts to come out, you know. And for the World War II guys, a lot of the pain had disappeared, and what they remember are the funny stories, the camaraderie, the danger, you know. But they don't, you know, a lot of the pain has disappeared, so they're able to talk about it a little more.
After decades.
Yeah. Vietnam guys are still on the edge these days. A lot of them won't talk about it, and some will. So
we've got a bunch of Vietnam, my buddies, that won't come in and talk to us on the air because it's just too raw. They just don't want to discuss it.
Just during my little effort here, I've had three Vietnam guys lined up that called me the night before and said, changed my mind. I can't do the interview. So
we've had the same experience here, Al. We're speaking with Al Zidan, who is the communications director of the Minnesota American Legion, on Minnesota Military Radio. Al, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig in a little bit on some of these stories and Volume 3 of War Stories. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been chatting with Al Zidan, who is a communications director for the Minnesota American Legion. He's also the editor of the Minnesota Legionnaire, which most of us Legion members get monthly, and he's the author of 3 War Stories books. And Al, we were talking about those for quite a long time now. You've been interviewing our veterans here in Minnesota and getting their stories down. And as you said, it's a kind of a dual purpose. Let's get the stories before it's too late, but then let's accumulate them somewhere so that we can remember them. And you did this for a number of years, and you compiled the first 2 books and used it as a fundraiser.
Yeah, the first book came out in 2000, and the second book came out in 2008. And the second book was indeed a fundraiser. But now the money went to Legion programs, Legion youth programs. So it was going to Boys State, Girls State, Legionville, Legion baseball, oratorical contests. So
terrific.
And
now I have in my hand War Stories Volume 3 by Al Zidan. And what a collection of interviews with our Minnesota veterans. This is really something, Al.
Yeah, there's 31 stories, and I've been concentrating on the World War II stories. So there's, I don't know, about 25 of them are World War II stories, and then there's a handful of Vietnam stories and some stories from current day. So
I saw a couple of those Vietnam stories at the end, and as I page through here and look at the pictures, looks like there's a few Navy guys in here, Al.
Well, we don't want to, you know, miss the Navy, you know. I realize I'm surrounded by Air Force guys, but, you know, that's okay.
Well, there's two of us in the studio with you today, so don't forget the Air Force. And, of course, you have to be purple, as we say, so we got to get the Marines and the soldiers and maybe – Have you interviewed any Coast Guard folks?
There's a Coast Guard story in that book. So yeah.
Very good. We touched on everybody. Now, what would you say in this Volumes 3? First off, where can we get it? Where, if our listeners want to get it, where do they go?
The best way is to go online to the Legion website, the Minnesota Legion website, and that address is mnlegion, mnlegion.org. And you'll see right on the front page of the website, there'll be a place. You'll see the two books that are still available, the third book and the second book. And you can just click on them and order right through there. And it's a kind of a PayPal system. So
it's a hefty book, and it's got, if you've ever gotten the Legionnaire, you know that Al does long interviews and good stories. And it's glossy. It's a good kind of book to put on your table in the living room. And these are great stories about our heroes here in Minnesota, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's about 400 pictures, I would say, in there, and I know people, and you know, we do some little breakout stuff too to make the stories more interesting. If a guy served on a tank, we'll do a little box about, you know, a little story about the tank and, you know, how many were built and what they were like and how much they cost and their problems and, you know, whatever. But
we're gonna have to start calling you historian, Al.
Well, I know military historians, and I'm not one of them. But it's fun to fool around with military history.
And I'll bet you've made some great friends doing these interviews.
The unfortunate thing is, I would say 90% of the World War II guys I've interviewed are no longer with us. So. I during the course of a year, I probably talk to a lot more 90-year-olds than most people do. So, but I just love it. I love these guys and women.
We've captured some great history. Once again, you can go online to the Minnesota American Legion website to get the book. What's it cost?
$25, and then there'll be $4 for shipping and handling.
And the proceeds of Volume 3, where are they going?
The same thing to Legion Youth Programs. I might, Tom, just add one other thing. They can also go to the Minnesota History Center and buy the book. We don't do a lot of going through bookstores and things like that, because they take all the money away from you. If
commissions, they got to get paid too.
That's right. You know, so, but we sell it online, and we sell it ourselves, and we. But we do sell it through the History Center, because we have such a good relationship with them through the years.
I still have Volume 1 and 2 available?
I have Volume 2. Volume 1, I'm down to about 3 books, so I hate to, you know, say it's available anymore. But if we get enough demand, it's been reprinted twice already, so we might do it one more time. But it's expensive, and you know, to do small quantities, so you don't make much money on it. So.
Well, I hope a lot of our listeners call and want the box set, so that you have to reprint it.
Well, that's what we're finding out, is that people want the whole set once they see the third volume is available.
Well, I'm sure once they've listened to this, they'll remember that they see that article in most of your monthly Legionnaires.
Right.
And it's something that I look forward to. I look at the current stuff, and I check some of the officers, and, okay, who do you write about this month?
Yeah.
And that sits on my kitchen table until I read it, because I don't let my wife throw it away until I've seen who you've written about, Al. So it's a great series. Is there going to be one more of these, Al?
Probably not. You know, I could do another book right now. I have enough stories that I've done. But it's so time consuming. And you know what, Tom, I may retire sometime. I don't know when, but, so I'm not planning, you know, who knows what the future brings, but I'm not planning on a fourth book. Well, that's why I'm calling it a trilogy and et cetera.
Al, in addition to being a communications director for the Minnesota American Legion, you're one of their good fundraisers. So the minute you retire, your next project is to put together book number 4. How about that?
We'll think about it.
You always got to have something to do, Al.
Yes, that's true.
Well, I look forward to seeing these stories all the time. This book is a beautiful new book of a collection of the 31 of those stories. I encourage all of our readers, all of our listeners, to go to the Minnesota American Legion website and get a copy of Volume 3. see if you can talk Al into reprinting volume 1 and 2 so that you can get those two. Al, thanks for joining us today in the studio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
That was Al Zidan, the communications director for the Minnesota American Legion and the editor of the Minnesota Legionnaire and the author of 3 War Stories books. Go to Minnesota American Legion and buy yours today. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer. Robbie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad we finally got some springtime weather to bring in the spring.
Last snowstorm, I think, was one too many for most of us, but sure nice to see some warm weather. How did your veterans down there in Goodhue County make it through the winter?
Oh, I think they wintered very well because we'll start to see a lot of them come in the office.
Well, that's great. You always like to see them come in and see what you can do to help them, right?
Yeah, it's a fact.
Robbie, I understand we want to talk about the Disabled Veterans Homestead Property Tax Exclusion. Can you tell us what that provides?
Well, the program provides a property tax exclusion for the homestead of an honorably discharged veteran who has a service-connected disability rating of 70% or higher. Also, the surviving spouses of certain qualifying veterans and service members and primary caregivers of qualifying veterans.
So what is the market value exclusion?
Well, the market value exclusion reduces the market value of the home that is subject to property taxes and provides 2 exclusion levels. It's up to $300,000 of market value for veterans who have a service-connected disability of 100% permanent in total, including permanent individual unemployability, and surviving spouses of those rated at 100%, and spouses of service members who died due to service-connected calls while serving honorably on active duty and qualifying primary caregivers of veterans permanently and totally disabled. And then the other exclusion level is up to $150,000 of market value is excluded from property taxes for a veteran with 70% or greater service-connected disability and qualifying primary caregivers of veterans permanently and totally disabled.
So just to repeat that, if you're 70% disabled, you can get $150,000 reduction in your assessed value of your home, and if you're 100% disabled, you can get up to $300,000 offset against the assessed value of your home, which will reduce your property taxes for the first and both for both, actually.
Right.
So, how do you qualify for that program? How does it work?
Like I said, to qualify, you've got to be an honorably discharged from the United States Armed Forces, have a service-connected disability of 70% or more, and own and occupy a property that's classified as homestead.
And if you meet that criteria, how do you apply for the exclusion?
Well, to apply, their applications are available through the County Assessor's Office, and you must apply by July 1st of 2018 to qualify for the exclusion for property taxes payable next year. One of the things with this program this year is that County Veteran Service Officers are going to have to certify the veteran's disability and where they live. And if you never used your County Veteran Service Officer in the past to get your disabilities or your compensation, you might want to check in with those folks so that they know how to verify your information so that you can get your exclusion if you've already applied for it.
So check with your County Veteran Service Officer. They'll help you with the forms you have to fill out. They'll help you put together the proof that you have that eligibility, and then they'll certify you and send you to the appropriate assessor's office to apply for the exclusion.
Yep, we'll make sure you're all taken care of.
All right. Now, for all of our veterans out there listening to the show, if they have any issues related to their military service, whether it's a medical condition, an injury while they suffered while they were on active duty, or if they've got any other questions, then they should stop in and see one of your fellow County Veteran Service Officers all over the state, correct?
Yep, that's correct. The County Veteran Service Officers are there to serve veterans and the dependents and surviving spouses of veterans, helping them get the benefits they so earned while serving our great country.
And one of the things your association does is provide training a couple times a year so that the County Veteran Service Officers know all of the resources available to help their veterans.
Yep, that's correct. We are required to go to training and have our certified education unit so that we know what's going on in the veterans world, so that we stay up to breath amongst everything, so that we can provide the best service possible to our veterans.
So find your discharge certificate, your DD-214, go visit your county veteran service officer. Robbie, thanks for joining us again today.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to serving our state veterans.
Thank you. That was Robbie Robinson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer. We have one mention today. The United States Air Force will provide an F-16 flyover salute to Lieutenant Robert Neiman of New Ulm on May 12th. Neiman, in his F-86 Sabre jet, was shot down over North Korea April 12, 1953. He remains reported missing in action. A memorial tribute will be held at Doughboy Statue at the New Ulm City Cemetery at 9:15 a.m. on May 12th. For more information, call 507-233-2616. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Representative Tom Emmer, Al Zidane, Robbie Robinson, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about Minnesota's domestic abuse project and meet a Minnesotan whose military career took her from the prairie to the Pentagon. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.